I feel like a novice. I feel like I hadn't preached in about 4 years or so. Brother Jimmy, I got these prayer requests. I don't want me to forget to give them to you. Proverbs chapter 14 in your Bible this evening. I'm just going to look at one verse and a short verse at that. Of course, most verses in Proverbs are short, but I saw as I was reading through the Proverbs, this verse jumped out at me, and this thought began growing in my mind and heart, and I wanted to share it with you this evening. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 4. The Bible says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. I've read that a bunch of times, a whole bunch of times, reading through the book of Proverbs, and I encourage you to read a proverb a day. It won't take you long. There's 31, that's at least one a day, even for the months with 31 days in it. But gives great instruction of how to live life, and it'll help you. But this verse, as I read it again this week, I began meditating on that verse. I'd read it so many times, I never really paused and thought about the meaning of it and what the Lord was trying to say to us. But where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. I'm going to preach for a little bit this evening on the subject, when life gets messy. How many of you would agree that life gets messy? Life don't always go as clean cut and picture perfect as we would like for it to, or as many people even portray it to be. Life gets messy. Home life gets messy. The job gets messy. And especially in the day and hour that we're living in, the age of social media, we scroll through social media and see the perfect family photos, especially this vacation time. Everybody's going on vacation to the beach or the mountains, or and got their family portraits put on Facebook and one after the other, and everything, just everybody's matching, and everybody's smiling, and it's just the perfect, it looks like the perfect family and the perfect picture, and everything's just exactly how it should be. But we all know that's not how life really is. Behind the photo, behind the smiles, and behind the matching outfits, life is messy, and it's not near as clean as we portray it to be. What the picture don't tell you about is the fusses and the fights, even on the way to vacation. I remember going on vacation when we were younger, me and my two brothers would be in the back seat, and a four-hour ride to the beach. By the time we'd get 30 minutes into the ride, my mom and Tommy would be ready to take us back home, and so we're done with that. Behind the scenes and behind the pictures and behind the social media posts and behind the facade of what people portray and what we like to let the public or the world see of us is a whole different picture. Financial problems, and behind the iron clean, prestigious and pristine clothes are really wrinkled, dirty clothes. We all have trouble. We all have messes in our life. And the picture that we see don't reveal the meltdowns and the tears and the brokenness that we deal with in life. Life is beautiful, but to be honest, it's messy. And we all deal with that. We all deep down know that. And church is one of the greatest places that seemingly people put on the facade and put on their best. You've heard the phrase, they got on their Sunday best. And we do. We come in smiling and put on that face. I was be transparent and honest. My wife and my children will be headed for them to sing somewhere and me to preach a revival or whatever. And I mean, you talking about messy? Every possible argument that could happen. From the time getting the girls ready, they fussing and fighting and pitching fits, and then me and Jenny go out, and then it's like amazing. You get out of the car, and it's like you transform into some beautiful-looking Christian person, all smiles. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. Hey, you. When in reality, it was messy, what nobody's seen. And that's true. That's true not just in my life, but every person here knows what I'm talking about. We all live life, and it's not all beautiful, and it's not all what we portray it to be. The reality is, in every barn with an ox, there's a mess, and it's got to be cleaned. Life ain't always clean, and sometimes life gets outside the lines that we've drawn. It's just like the ox in the barn. It's going to make a mess, and we, too, will have our messes if we live a productive life. Now, the Bible said where no oxen are, the crib is clean. And what the Lord is saying is without an ox, you can keep a clean life. You can have a clean crib or a clean barn if you don't have an ox. If you're not going to be productive, if you're not going to do anything, if you're not going to have crops grow, if you're not going to plant and sow, then sure, you can have a beautiful barn and you can have a beautiful crib and a stall and it look prestigious and clean, but what good is it? If it's never used, if it's not being put to use, then sure, you could keep it clean. But the reality is, we're living life, and hopefully if you're saved, you want to be productive for the Lord. And if that's the case, and I'm sure you do and I do, then it's going to get messy and it's going to require some maintenance and some cleaning up and some taking care of the messes. I thought about this today. It gets old taking out the trash. It's amazing how fast trash accumulates. Yeah. I mean, especially in the house with six people. It's like Jenna said, you need to take the trash out. And I said, I just took the trash out. Well, no, you need to take the trash out again. It's full again. And it's amazing just how fast and how much maintenance and how big of a mess is created over and over and over. And the same is true with dishes. In my house, the dishes can be washed and cleaned and put away, and within 30 minutes, the sink can be full again. The same, and don't even get me started on laundry. And keep, I don't do the laundry. I hardly ever do the dishes, but I do take the trash out. So that's why I led with the trash. Somebody asked if I had a dishwasher. I said, yeah, four of them. I grew them. That's right. I'm raising them. But I can complain about dirty dishes, or I could be grateful that I have enough food to dirty the dishes. I could complain about having to take the trash out again and again, or I could say, thank the Lord, God blessed me and gave me something to dispose of. We throw away more than most people ever have. And then we complain about having to throw it away and clean our messes. Messiness is the byproduct of success. Like I said, you can have a spotless barn, but if you want a crop in the summer, you're going to have an ox in the barn that makes messes. And if you want life to be squeaky clean, you ain't going to be near as productive as you could be if you're willing to let life get a little messy from time to time. And I'll say more about this in a minute, but it ain't a sin for life to happen. Life's going to happen. Messes happen. That ain't a sin. You remember Peter, and I'll read this verse in a little bit, but when Jesus told Peter to wash his feet, or Jesus was going to wash Peter's feet, and he said, "No, not so, Lord." And then Jesus said something to him, and Peter made the statement, said, "Well, then wash me all over." And Jesus said, "There ain't no need for that." He said, "You're going to get dirty. You're walking through life. You don't need to be washed all over. You just need your feet." The point is, messes happen. Problems happen. Issues in life happen. And just because we're saved and Christian people, we're not immune from that. But we must learn how to deal with it. Productive lives or messy lives. Have you ever been to a business and hear them say, "Pardon us for our progress"? They're adding on, they're building, they're constructing because they're productive. They're have a business that's doing something that people's coming and they're having to expand. Well, it creates a mess in the process of expanding and building and getting better. Messes happen, but it's for the betterment. It's for, and because progress is being made. Like I thought about how many of you would be glad when I-85 is complete? Or 26 when you're going on up toward Tennessee. What a mess I-85 is. When you come in from Charlotte and go down through Gaffney and now all the way through Spartanburg, it is a nightmare. What a mess. And many times if you're stuck in traffic and like me, you're thinking, "I wish they'd have never started this mess." But it's going to be awful nice when it's finished and there's four lanes or whatever, and six lanes. The point is, it could have stayed the same. It could have had no progress. It could have stayed exactly how it was and no mess created, but something bigger and something better is taking place, and therefore, and because of that, it comes with a mess. And that's how it is in life. It's a mess, but imagine how nice it'll be when it's done. They're making it better, but it's a messy product. Raising godly children can be messy. Having a godly marriage can get messy. It takes work. You're not always going to agree. I have children. This past week, and I won't go into detail, but this past week we went out of town for a couple of days, and a subject got started, and it was about Christian, about, I'm trying not to give it away. It was a subject dealing with Christian, being a Christian, and what kind of, I'll just tell you, what kind of music is good and what kind of music is not. And it started out with just a friendly family conversation and ended up, I'll just say it, a mess. We didn't see eye to eye. And in marriages, me and my wife have, we were raised both in Christian homes, but even being raised in Christian homes, you can have different values and different standards. And I remember one of the biggest arguments me and Jenny got into when we were dating was what kind of music she should be listening to and shouldn't be listening to. And now here I am, and I thought that mess was fixed and done with, and here I am 20-something years later and having that same mess with my children. Battling sin gets messy. Loving broken people gets messy. Thought about this today. I don't want our church to have the testimony, neither do I want to have the testimony that our church, that we don't want them here. Do you realize there's some churches that if you're not the right color, you're not welcome? If you're not of the right standing in the community, you're not welcome. If you come from the trailer park where there's, if you come from the drug infested side of town, if you come from the wrong, then we don't want them kind here. God help us. God help us never to have that testimony. It don't matter to me what color somebody is. Race matters not. Economic status matters not. We are here to help people in their mess. And it does get messy. But we ought to be willing to grow and to progress and deal with the messes. Serving the Lord can often get messy. Having a great and growing church can be messy. Being messy don't make you a bad person or a bad parent or a bad spouse or even a bad church member or pastor. Just because you battle don't mean you're failing. Just because you having to deal with messes and clean messes up don't mean you're failing. Matter of fact, it means you are not failing. Right. Amen. Being messy don't make you a fake Christian. Listen to this. It makes you a believer that's making progress and willing to work to become what God wants you to be. Amen. Seeing the mess there and not dealing with it is one thing. That's failing. Or not even having an ox in the barn, not even being part of the fight, not even being engaged at all. That's failing. But as a Christian, living the life, trying to grow and trying to mature and trying to grow your faith and trying to go forward and higher with God, messes happen, failures happen, but that don't make you a failure. That means you are making progress. And it does get messy. When you start going to church and getting closer to God, that's when you'll hear people say, you a hypocrite. You ain't perfect. I know this about you. Now, listen, I don't go to church because I'm perfect. I go to church because I ain't perfect.
That's right.
Amen. The hypocrite truly is the one who's in a mess, but pretending and portraying everybody that he has no messes. Amen. I ain't here tonight because I have it all together. I'm here because it's falling apart. And I have enough sense to know life is a mess. And I need the Lord, the one who is perfect, to help me in my imperfection. Amen. I'm not here because I'm a good person. I'm here because he's a good God. Amen. Productive lives is hard work and messy. If you want to be lazy and status quo and never amount to anything for God or as a Christian, you won't have to deal with too many messes. You won't have to clean up too many messes. But if you really want to be something for God, you're gonna encounter messes. It's part of it. Life ain't always pretty. It just ain't. Life ain't always picturesque. I've said this several times recently, but the suicide rate is through the roof, astronomically high, especially with young girls. And the reason for that is that there's been such a phony and fake reality built online and through social media, and these young girls see just the best of what people put out there and the facade that these other people put out there with all their friends and all their perfect life, and they're living in mess from mess to mess, and they get so downstrought and so depressed over it. Listen, that ain't reality. Reality is we all have our own messes, and we all have to deal with it and clean them. But it's the hard work of life that produces a life worth living. And that's the truth. Life can be messy, but the mess is worth the work. Amen. My wife keeps her house pretty clean downstairs. But we do have an upstairs. And if it ain't clean downstairs like it should be, she'll see to it that it gets that way and keep it that way. But we dare not even hardly go up them steps because we know there's children up there. And where there's children, there's messes. But I'm not going to write off my, and this is the crux of the verse. I'm not going to say, well, let's put our children up for adoption because I don't want to have that mess up there to deal with. No, I love my children. I thank God for my children. And part of the bundle and part of the package of having children is the fact that messes come along with it. And I'm not going to rain down with a rod of iron every time I walk up the steps and every toy's not in its spot and the bed's not made like a military man would have it to be. I'm not that daddy that's going to come and strike them and put them on restriction and whoop them because it's messy. And the verse comes to mind, Brother Ned, how much more does our Heavenly Father? God ain't ready to punish you because life gets messy. God loves you and God wants you to succeed and God way more patient and way more merciful and gracious to us than we would give him credit to be. I'd rather have some messes in my home than have a spotless home with no children. I can't even begin to tell you the messes I've seen in my office, dealing with husbands and wives when they finally get to the breaking point and ready and willing to admit the mess that they've got themselves in. I couldn't even say it publicly about the people who's addicted and who's allowed their life to devolve in so deep of a mess that they seem and feel like there's no way out and it's such a big mess, there's no hope and there's no way out. But please hear me. Our teenagers who's made a mess and who's scared to death to tell anybody about their habits and their hang-ups, and you way better off, though. Those people who finally come to my office or finally make the phone call and say, I'm in a mess, there's a mess, and I don't know how I'm going to get out, they're way, way closer and way better off than those who hide it and those who will never come and say, I have a problem and I have a mess on my hands and I don't know how to clean it up. Help me. Those people are way closer to getting help and cleaning their mess up than those who would hide it and pretend that everything in life is picture perfect. Those are the ones who end up in divorce. Those are the ones who end up on Skid Row and run away from home. Those are the ones who never get help. People look at me and think, and I've heard this so much, and I used to get mad when I hear it, but it don't bother me no more. But they'll say, boy, you got it made. Got that big old church and only work 3 hours a week. Live in that nice house and that drive that nice truck and wear them nice suits and clothes and got them nice shoes. And hear me. I'm grateful for the house the Lord's given me. I'm grateful for the church the Lord's let me pastor. I'm grateful for the car I drive and the clothes I wear. I'm grateful for it. But people look and say, you got it made. But they wasn't there. They wasn't there, Brother Ned, when the messes were piling up. They wasn't there when me and my wife were moving into a roach-infested, rat-infested little old chicken coop of a trailer. They wasn't there when I wore the same shirt every day. Jenny would wash it and iron it every day because it's the only one I had to go to church in. They wasn't there when we didn't have nothing but pork and beans and noodles, when the messes were piled, when our life was in a complete mess and most of it of my making. And so When you see people at a different stage in life, understand you wasn't there when they're messes. And just because you're in a mess now, it ought to give you hope that there's progress can be had, and that God will deliver you and carry you. And one mess don't define you. Two messes don't define you. I promise you, that ox who made a mess in the barn, the ox who messed in the crib, he's going to do it again tomorrow. And that same mess is going to have to be cleaned up again the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Amen. But you got it made, preacher. I had a man tell me, he was trying to take my church from me. This was in Georgia. His wife got saved. I was preaching. His wife got saved. His son got saved, called to preach. His daughter, both his daughters got saved, and the whole house. And then he surrendered to preach. I sent him to Bible college, was paying for his Bible college, doing everything I could to encourage him. And he was working at the paper mill and going to college. And he thought, I just had it made. And he called me one day on his lunch break, and he said, what you doing, preacher? I guess you got your feet propped up and just got back from the golf course. I know you don't work for 2 or 3 hours a week. Some of us really got to work. I thought he was joking. I just chuckled and went on. And come to find out, he was dead serious. He really believed that. And I went out of town to preach revival a month or two later, and this man, who I had poured my life into, his family, he had seen his whole family saved, his son called to preach. I mean, God was moving. He got jealous, and he thought that my life was so plush, and he wanted what I had and wasn't willing to pay the price to get it. And so when I was out of town, he went around to all the families in the church and made up all this stuff and tried to get the church to vote me out so he could be the pastor. He wasn't there when I was driving 3 hours to Georgia after working an 8-hour day at the Ford dealership, and then coming home, changing clothes, and driving to Georgia and going to 4 hours of Bible college and then driving back home. He wasn't there when I would go to work and my wife and two little girls at the time, babies, were in bed, and then I'd go work and go straight to Bible college and climb them stairs for 4 hours and come home and they'd be in the bed, not seeing my wife. He wasn't there for all them years. And he didn't understand the price and all the messes I dealt with to get there. He just wanted the progress, and he wanted what I had without going through any of the messes. Messes teach you something. Cleaning the messes in life teach you value. Makes you appreciate what God's given you. Amen. Amen. Nothing in life's free. Amen. I thank God for this ministry, but it's not without my share of messes. I know more than anybody the messes. I know the forgiveness is taken for me personally just to be here as a Christian, much less a preacher. By the way, the bigger the ox, the bigger the mess. Without getting too detailed, you figure that out on your own. Mamas, when you've cleaned your house spotless and got it clean as it can be, and then them rugrats come home and destroy it, just remember, the bigger the ox, the bigger the mess. The more kids you got, the bigger it's going to be. But the alternative is, you could have a spotless home, but be oxless. Listen, do you know how many women pray every day that God would give them a child? And God, don't complain too much about the mess. Learn to thank God for the mess. Thank God for the ox in the barn who makes the mess, whether that be a child, whether that be a husband, listen, the mess is worth it. I couldn't imagine my life without my four children. I couldn't imagine it. One of them's gone almost all the time now, and it's killing me. I hate it with a passion. I hate it. And I'd give anything if I could just fuss at her about a mess she made. And she ain't gone for good. But listen, we better be careful how much we complain and gripe and about the messes they make while they're there. Because you're going to wake up, and I'm going to wake up one day, and it's going to be a quiet house. Clean, yes, but quiet. Wives, when your husband comes in the front door and starts undressing at the front door and throws clothes from here to yonder, all the way to the bedroom, just remember, you could be oxless. You better be thankful you have a husband to throw his clothes and make a mess. Life, and I know it's funny, but I'm being serious. Life would be real lonely. And there's some widows in this church right now who would give anything to clean up their husband's mess again. Amen. The more God has entrusted us with, the more responsibility we have. It's going to take us further. It's going to be more productive. It's going to be greater, but it's also going to create more messes that you have to clean up. The bigger the family, the bigger the position, the bigger the church, the bigger the business, the bigger the ox, the bigger the mess. It's part of a productive life. I have people, preacher friends of mine, they'll call and say, "How you like it in Packley? How you like the church? What's the difference?" I say it's just a little bit bigger, a little more people, a lot more problem. I'm kidding. I had a preacher friend tell me this one time. He said, "Man, pastoring would be awesome if it wasn't for the people." There wouldn't be no such thing as pastoring if there wasn't no people. There are weeks when life is easy and just flows easy. But then there's weeks I feel like I need to put my Bible on the shelf and find my pitchfork and just go from pile to pile, scooping poop, cleaning the barn. And that's part of life. Just remember, though, the reason there's messes is because you're being productive. You're planning for the future. You're providing for the future and fulfilling God's call in your life. I hear people complain and even suggest, don't let this make you mad. God's blessed us with this church. Everybody listen to me. I'm about done, but listen to me. I thank the Lord for this beautiful church, Brother Jackie. But this church is here for a reason. It's here to serve people. It's here to worship the Lord. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't like people bringing drinks in here. I like people treating God's house like it's God's house and being reverent to the house of God. I'm all about that. This is the Lord's house. I think it ought to be the cleanest, nicest place in town. I mean that. I hate seeing candy wrappers on the floor. I pick them up when I see them. I hate seeing even the books and the song books all out of place. I'll go around and fix them and try to straighten them because this is God's house. I'm all about that. But hear me. We've got way out of place when we would rather our church stay so clean and pristine that we don't want children doing this or that or being in the pews. Or don't put them tithing envelopes in the pews because children write on them. That's just wasting. Don't give the kids snacks because they just going to make a mess. Listen, it's ministry. And you've heard this, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Messes are going to be made, and we can clean it. But we must invest in people and reach out to people and listen to me. Please hear me. This is not a museum. Listen, this is a hospital for hurting people, right? Not a museum. Amen. Museums are supposed to be, perfectly clean and nothing. But hospitals is for bleeding people and hurting people, and there's going to be messes made. And we should never get so high and think so highly of this building that we can't allow dirty people to come in and sit on these pews, and people with problems, and people with and children who don't know how to go to church, and they need to be trained, and they need to learn and hear the gospel, and we should invite them in. Yes, they're going to tear the vans up. Yes, they're going to make messes. And yes, there's going to be wear and tear. But that's part of the price, is the messes that are made to reach people for Christ. Amen. And we ought to be willing to clean the mess. Amen. Oh, we can have this barn with no ox in it. But I'd rather have the ox in it that fruit would come in the harvest season. Amen. I'm thankful we got a church full of children running all over the place making messes, and I'm thankful for that. I don't want to have a church where it's just people our age. I thank the Lord that we got to run air conditioners over there and cut the lights on over there for a bunch of young people. Yeah. Amen. I thank the Lord for the messes. Hey, listen, I thank the Lord we get to clean the messes up behind them children. Amen. 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 I had somebody tell me before, I can't just divulge this information, but I had somebody tell me today that wanted to know, do I know already how many children, young people, teenagers we're going to have going to camp, youth camp next year? And I said, I don't know, but I'll find out. Why you need to know? And they said, because I want to pay for the whole thing. For all of them. I want to make sure every child in our church gets to go and the bill will be paid. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. And the statement was made to follow that up. They're worth investing in. And it's the church of tomorrow. And if we don't invest in them now, if we're not willing to deal with their message now, they won't be here tomorrow. Amen. The bigger the mess, the bigger the productivity. A messy life can be, as messy as life can be, God ain't afraid to get messy. I close with this. listen and think about this. Ain't you glad God ain't scared of your mess? Ain't you glad that God don't come toward you and see the mess you're in and say, oh, I can't go any further. It's too big of a mess for me. I can't get dirty. In Genesis 1, God spoke and mountains come into existence. He spoke and the sun and stars appeared. He spoke and oceans appeared. He spoke and animals and mammals and fish and reptiles and crawling things and beasts appeared. But when it came to mankind, God got down in the dirt with his own hands, with his pure, holy hands, and formed man out of the dust of the ground. You say, that's the Old Testament. Jesus in the New Testament found a blind man in a mess. He couldn't see, and Jesus reached down in the dirt and spit on and scooped the dirt up and spit on in the dirt and made mud pies. And I'm saying God was willing to get dirty for people in their mess. Ain't you glad we serve a God, a Savior and a Father who's willing to love you right in the middle of your mess? You can have a messy life and a clean heart, by the way. John 13 says, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you're clean, but not all. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Life gets messy. It's unavoidable. But just remember, it's a sign of progress. Don't get down over your mess. Get up and move on for the glory of God. Know God's in your mess with you. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I thank you, God, for the encouragement you've been to me today. Lord, I pray you'd take your word and apply it to our hearts. Lord, I pray for that one that's struggling the most, Lord, this evening. And Lord, they're in the middle of a mess even now. Lord, and life's got all out of sorts. I pray you'd encourage them. Lord, help us to encourage one another. Lord, thank you again, God, for your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us as we go our separate ways, touch our young people, touch our church, Lord. And God, I pray you'd help us to have a heart that would be willing, Lord, to see the messes and be willing to clean the messes, Lord, and be patient with others, Lord, that's in a mess, realizing, God, we've all had our share, Lord, and we'll have more. And God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to minister to people. We love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, God bless you at Liberty.